The Simplified Life Organizing System, Module 4, Space. A client called me shortly after she and her husband got married. They'd combined households, but their space and their storage seemed to explode with way too much stuff, and there just wasn't anywhere for all of it to go. As it turns out, they'd had real differences of opinion on what being organized meant to each of them. Working together, we came to some consensus about what was organized enough for each person, and created new storage to make sure there was an easy-to-find home for everything. Additionally, we helped both people build new habits around putting things away in those homes, which helped keep clutter at bay in their space. Now, it's truly hard for us to enjoy our lives and for our families to thrive when we feel overwhelmed by clutter in our homes. Rather than being our personal castles, when we have clutter, we can dread our space, feel embarrassed by it, and fight about clutter with our loved ones. Life is so much easier and more fun when we can find what we're looking for easily, put our things away in homes that make sense, and be proud of the space that we've created for ourselves and for our stuff. This module is all about your space, how to overcome your clutter, how to set up your storage, and how to make it easy to deal with the stuff in your home for you and for everyone else that shares it with you. And since we're talking about your home, we'll also chat about how to make it all look good. Looking good is important. Now, in the previous module, editing, we discussed in depth how to edit your space. And you'll always want to start managing your space not by moving things around or buying new storage or new containers, but rather by editing your belongings. One of the biggest mistakes people make when they're trying to get organized on their own is rather than editing through their belongings, they go to their local organizing supply store or home shopping store, and they buy containers or they buy a new storage unit. And that never really solves the problem, because we're always going to get more stuff, and we haven't really, at that point yet, gone through what we have to make sense of what's there so that we can purchase the storage units that are best for us. So you'll always start by editing. And if you have any questions about editing, just go back to the previous module called Editing, and there's lots of guidance in there on how to do it. Once you've edited through your belongings, then it's time to start thinking about creating your ideal storage spaces. So you'll want to take a few moments and organize your belongings. You'll want to put your like items together, your books with your books, your clothes with your clothes, your papers together, your kids' stuff all in one spot, etc. And then you'll want to make sure that you measure them. You want to find out exactly how much square footage you have of the types of things that you need to store in each room or space in your home. And there's space in your workbook to work on this. Then you'll be able to choose exactly the right storage unit for your space, because without knowing exactly how much you need to store, it's just guesswork. If you were to go to the store and buy a storage unit and figure out how much you need, you haven't really thought about it in detail yet. So you want to choose a storage unit based exactly on how much you need to store, and you'll only be able to do that once you've edited and then organized and then measured your belongings. So once you've measured your stuff, you'll be able to choose a storage unit that's right for those items. But don't just measure and then buy storage based specifically on the amount you have. Add about 20 to 40% additional onto your estimate. That way you'll have some room to grow into. You never want to max out your storage space right away. Rather, you want to make sure that there's some room for you to get additional belongings, because let's face it, all of us will. So in terms of the actual storage unit itself, cabinets, bookcases, built-in units, wall-mounted storage, those are all good. They should all be based around what you have to store and what your space is like. Generally speaking, one of the things I see most often is that most people don't use the vertical space that's in their homes nearly enough for storage. Storage can be mounted on walls, it can go up cabinet or closet doors, you can hide storage all sorts of spaces, and you can make it beautiful. But you want to make sure that you use all of your available space rather than shifting things lower or onto the floor. Think about using your walls for storage as well. Your storage should be based on the scale of the space itself, and what you have to put in it. So, for instance, I've gone into homes, for instance, bedrooms where they have gigantic armoires in very, very tiny rooms. And it's no surprise to me when the homeowners or the renters who are in the space tell me that they feel really overwhelmed by the storage in their room. That's because the scale is all wrong. That storage unit is far too large for that bedroom. So maybe by shifting that cabinet or that armoire to a different room, and instead putting in smaller scale storage, we can make the space much more enjoyable. So look for storage units that fit the scale of the space of the room that they're going into. You'll also want to look for items that can do double duty. So, for instance, coffee tables that have built-in storage, or units that hold TVs that also have built-in cable management and storage for DVDs. These are items that are working harder for you. So instead of just getting a table, choose one that has some built-in storage that can hide or hold some of your stuff for you. This can save you a lot of space, and it can actually make it easier for you to use those items because they're related to the space where you're keeping them. So, for instance, if you've got kids that have a lot of video games, you'll want to choose a television unit that has space to store their controllers and their video games so that the kids are using those items close to where they're being stored. That makes it easier to use them, and it makes it easier to put them away. Now, once you've purchased your storage units, before you go put everything away, take a few minutes, go to your workbook, and look for your storage map. And this is simply a diagram of what is going to live where in your home. You're going to list out room by room what the different storage units are, the different cabinets, the bookcases, etc. And then what's going to live on each shelf or within each drawer in your space. You don't ever want to just buy a storage unit and start shoving things away. That's how things get very quickly disorganized again. And rather than you having to do that stuff shuffle, where you're putting things away and then shifting them around and getting things disorganized, before you put things away, take a few minutes and fill out your storage map. Just draw, even on a sheet of graph paper, a diagram of the different shelves or drawers in the different cabinets or shelving units that you have, and then assign the different items to each shelf or drawer that are going to live there. That way, it's easy for you to put things away, and that can serve as a reference document for your family members so that everyone knows where things are supposed to live. This alone can help keep your house much more organized. Now, if we're talking about detail level of where to put things, let's chat for a minute about prime real estate versus low-end or cheapo real estate. We want to put the things that you use most frequently, the things that you're grabbing for all the time or that you want to have easy to put away, close by in your prime real estate. That means things that are at eye level or within arm's reach or that are easily seen. Maybe it's things that you don't have to open up a cabinet or a closet door to get to. Easily accessible. The main thing here is that anything that occupies space that's at eye level or within arm's reach should be those things that you utilize most often. That's your prime real estate because those are easy for you to reach. Now, the things that are not as frequently used for you should go either higher up outside of arm's reach, lower below eye level, or behind doors or inside of drawers that you may not access quite as frequently. That's your low-end real estate. And it's not that the things inside there aren't important, they are, otherwise you wouldn't have kept them. More so that you're just not using them as frequently, so they don't need to be quite so accessible. Now keep in mind, what's at eye level or arm level for you may not necessarily be at eye or arm level for the other people in your household. So for instance, if you're really tall and you have children, you'll want to make sure that the things that they need to use, and especially the things that you're expecting them to put away, are at the right height for them. I've gone frequently into homes where there's kids, and the parents are wondering why the kids aren't putting their stuff away. Well, when I look more closely at what they're storing and where they're storing it, there's no way that the kids can reach the top shelf of a bookcase without the whole thing toppling over, or they can't lift and move heavy containers full of stuff. So you want to make sure that things are at an appropriate level, appropriate height, and accessibility for each of the people that are going to be using that storage. So for kids, you want things that are a lower height, that are in lighter or smaller containers, and that are open, that aren't behind closed cabinet doors or inside of drawers. For adults, things can be up higher, maybe in slightly heavier containers, and if someone is diligent about putting things away, they can be behind closed doors. Now, in terms of containers themselves, there are many, many types of containers available, coming in everything from basic clear plastic to wood finishes, fabric wrapped, paper wrapped. They even come in leather if you're looking for a more high-end touch. And you'll want to choose containers that make sense for the space that they're going into. So if something is in the kitchen and behind closed doors, clear plastic containers could be perfectly okay. Also, in kids' rooms, colorful containers or clear plastic can be great because then the kids can easily see what's inside or identify things by what color container they're in. But if something is going to be displayed in your home, or if something is going to live on a cabinet that has glass doors, or on a shelf that's out in the open, you might want to choose a more beautiful container, one that's wood or fabric or leather wrapped, so that it doesn't call quite so much attention to itself and it's more aesthetically pleasing to you. Now, with one client that I had, we found creative ways to use containers that she already had. She had clear plastic containers, but she didn't like looking at them because she saw a jumble of things inside, and even though what's in there was organized, it was ugly. So we found some beautiful paper that she had lying around her space, and we wrapped the inside of the containers. We just lined the containers with the paper, and now she sees the beautiful paper instead of the jumble of stuff that's inside the container. So you can find creative ways to utilize containers that you may already have. Another specific type of container that you probably want to have in every room of your home is a goes elsewhere bin. Now, this is a bin, a box, a tray, a basket that you have in each room of your home, tucked away in a spot that's accessible but probably not right out in the open, where you can then drop things in there that don't belong in that room. That way it's easy for you, when you're going and reorganizing spaces in your home, to take that bin full of stuff that goes elsewhere, move it around from room to room, and then disperse things around the rooms in your home where they actually belong. So let's say it's a given week, and as the week goes on, that bin is collecting things from the kids' rooms, from the kitchen, from the other living room, or maybe from the home office, and those are being dumped in the goes elsewhere bin. Sunday comes, and Sunday is your day to clean and reorganize. You take the bin with you from room to room, and you distribute those items to the rooms where they really belong. That way you can simply take the goes elsewhere bin with you and drop things off where they belong. You don't have to run around the house every single day trying to distribute items in rooms where they actually belong. Another type of container you might want to have, maybe in a central spot in your home, is a donation bin, basket, box, or container. This would be for things as you're going through your everyday life where you identify right away that you don't need this anymore. It doesn't belong in your home, but it's not trash. Someone else could make use of it. And so instead of letting it sit around and clutter up your living space, you drop it in the donation bin that's in a central spot, maybe in a hall closet, maybe in a garage or storage space. And then periodically you make an appointment with yourself, maybe once a month, maybe once every few months, or maybe just when the bin is full, to take it to your favorite donation resource. And that way those things leave your home on a regular basis. So in addition to the regular containers you have for the stuff that's in your home, you'll want to make sure that each room has a goes elsewhere bin, and you'll want to have a donation bin in a central spot in your space. Now, we're talking about your home here, right? So we want to make sure that things match your taste. I've seen so frequently people who have gotten organized on their own, or even sometimes with professional organizers, where aesthetics weren't taken into account. And I used to be a designer, so aesthetics really matter to me. And I'm a firm believer that if you want to use and enjoy your systems, you need to use them and like them. Liking them, liking how they look, liking how they function, is critically important to the success of your organizing projects. And so you'll want to make sure that whether you're choosing a storage unit, or you're choosing containers, or some combination, that you choose items that are not just functional, but ones that you find attractive. Because when something is attractive, we're more likely to be attracted to it and want to use it. So then, rather than choosing bare bones, clear plastic containers that are going to be displayed in your living room, I honestly think it's worth it to invest a little bit more money and choose ones that you really like, because you're going to see these things all the time. And when you see them, you want to like them. You want to feel good about what's in your living space. So consider your aesthetic whenever you're choosing your organizing supplies, your storage units, your containers, whatever you need to complete your particular project in your space. Make sure it matches the things that you like, because when it does, you're going to enjoy your space more. And that's what this whole system is about. Now, generally speaking, once you've chosen your storage, you've created your storage map, and you've gotten things put away, then it's time to get things labeled. And as a general rule, you're going to want to label most things that are behind closed doors or within containers where you can't see what's inside. And you can purchase a commercial label maker where it spits out printed tape. You can label things by hand, but the goal here is so that it makes it easy for you to know what's inside of a container or behind a cabinet door without you having to go and open each and every one to find the thing that you're looking for. Now, of course, if we're talking about a cabinet that's in your living room, we're not going to put little sticky labels on the outside of it, but you might want to label the shelves inside that are behind the closed doors so that it's easy to remember what lives where. So you don't have to go crazy with containers and labels, but you do want to label the things that are a mystery or that you wouldn't be quite sure what's inside. And when you can't label things, make sure that you've noted where everything is located on your storage map. The goal here is that you want your space organized and easy for you to find your things when you need them. And if you aren't immediately clear, just by your own knowledge of where things live, you want to either be able to look at the labels or look at your storage map and know where things are for certain, without you having to open every drawer, go behind every cabinet door, or open every closet to find those things that you need. So label what you can, and when you can't, make sure you've noted everything on your storage map. Now, once you've gone to all of this effort to organize your space and put systems together and put things on the right height for each individual person, it's important to actually involve the members of your household if you're expecting your place to stay organized. If you're the only person who's on board with the organizing projects and the goals of getting organized, honestly, do not expect your space to stay organized. I've worked with many, many people in their homes where if it's a couple, let's say the first spouse really wants things organized and is really invested in the process and wants things to get there, and the second spouse is not. They really couldn't care less whether things were organized. They've lived in cluttered environments their whole lives, and it doesn't bother them. They, in fact, don't even see it as clutter. They just see it as their stuff, and it's not a problem for them. Things typically don't turn out that well when one person is on one extreme and the other is on the other end. You'll want to reach some consensus with the members of your household for the goals that you're trying to achieve with getting organized, and make sure that everyone understands what you're doing and is on board. Don't expect your house to stay organized if you're the only person that's buying into the getting organized process. So you'll want to get their input on where they think things should be stored. You want to get their input into what sort of storage systems or storage units make sense, or the ones that they might like. And then once you've got things organized, you'll want to take the family members or the people that live in your household on a tour of the new storage units. Make sure they understand what's behind the doors, what's within the containers, what lives in the cabinets. Open each drawer and show them what lives there. Because if you're expecting them to use it, they need to understand where things are, and they need to have agreed that it works for them. If you can't get agreement, then it's time to make some tweaks or changes to the system based on their input. Once everyone is on the same page, then you can give each person a copy of the storage map, or keep the storage map in a central place so that everyone knows where to look when they're trying to find something that they need. You don't ever want it to be a mystery for each individual person as to where their things went. That's a terrible feeling for that person. It feels like a violation in most cases, and in truth, in most cases, it is. None of us want to feel like our things have been tampered with or moved without our knowledge or our permission. So, unless the people in your household are on board with organizing everything, start by organizing the areas for which you have control or responsibility, and then see if you can get buy-in on them from their perspectives on what they'd like to see done with their own individual stuff. Don't go organizing other people's things. It's generally a bad idea and typically does not turn out well. Start with your own stuff, get it organized, and then get buy-in from the rest of your household. And you'd be surprised. Once they see you getting more organized and see the difference it makes for you, many times people start wanting that result for themselves. I've seen it time and again in my work. So focus on your things, and then you may be able to move on to the things the rest of the people in your household have that could be more organized. But make sure you get their permission first. So your next steps. Take some time to plan out your storage, make sure you've weeded through or edited through your belongings, and then fill out your action plan, as we've talked about for all of the different items discussed in this module. Where things could live, what sort of storage units might make sense, what containers you might want, and where they all would live. And above all, please plan out your storage before you go shopping. You don't want to get to the store and say to yourself, "You know, I think I need more storage, I'm just going to buy a bookcase." You get it home and it's too big or too small, or it doesn't fit the things that you were planning, and now you're stuck with it. Instead, follow the steps that are laid out in this module, fill out your action plan, and go from there. I'll see you in the next module.